Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton lesson, we're getting into automated contrast design for neuro drum and bass. This is where a heavy drop stops feeling like a good loop and starts feeling like a real system. In neuro, contrast is everything. Tight versus wide, dry versus wet, filtered versus full range, mono versus stereo, controlled versus unstable. If those oppositions are designed properly with automation, your arrangement starts to breathe, punch, and mutate in a way that feels intentional. So today, we're building a 16-bar neuro drop architecture in Ableton Live using stock devices, smart routing, and a very deliberate automation workflow. The goal is not to automate everything just because you can. The goal is to create sectional movement that makes the listener feel like the drop is evolving every few bars, even if the core pattern stays similar. By the end, you should have a drop where bars 1 to 8 feel controlled, tight, and punchy, and bars 9 to 16 feel like a clear upgrade, wider, nastier, more aggressive, and more dangerous. We'll shape bass tone, drum pressure, stereo width, res aggression, pre-drop tension, call and response movement, and those all-important resets every 8 or 16 bars. This is an advanced session, so I'm assuming you already know how to make a neuro bass chain, program rolling drums, and arrange a basic drop. What we're doing now is turning that arrangement into a narrative. First, get your session structure clean. This matters more than people think. Good automation gets messy fast if your project is disorganized. Set up your groups clearly. A drums group with kick, snare, tops, break layer, and drum effects. A bass group with sub, mid-bass layers, res or texture bass, and any bass effects prints. A music group for pads, atmos, or tonal stabs. An effects group for rises, impacts, downlifters, and noise. Then create your return tracks. A short room, a plate or longer reverb, a ping-pong delay, and maybe a distortion parallel. On your drums group, add a glue compressor with a gentle setup, around 10 milliseconds attack, auto release, ratio at 2 to 1, soft clip-on and only about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Follow that with EQ8, maybe a gentle high pass around 25 Hz and a tiny mud dip if needed. On your bass group, high pass the non-sub layers around 25 to 30 Hz, add a light saturator on analog clip with 1 to 3 dB of drive and soft clip on, then a utility for width control. On the sub itself, keep things simple. EQ, very light saturation, and utility in mono if needed. And here's the neuro rule I want you to keep in your head the whole lesson. Automate the mid layers, not the sub, unless you have a very clear reason to destabilize the low end. The sub is one of your anchor elements. If everything moves, nothing feels solid. In a good neuro drop, the ear needs a few stable references. Usually that means the sub stays reliable, the kick and snare stay centered, and one bass transient layer stays consistent, while the rest mutates around it. Now let's build a bass chain that's actually designed for automation. Take your main neuro mid-bass or resample track and build a stock chain like this. Auto filter, saturator, amp, EQ8, phaser flanger, optional corpus or frequency shifter, hybrid reverb or reverb, utility, then a compressor or glue compressor. You do not need to automate every device. That's one of the biggest advanced mistakes. If every knob is moving constantly, the ear stops reading contrast and just hears mess. Pick a few high-impact controls. The first big one is auto-filter. Frequency is huge for phrase readability. Resonance can add tension. Drive, if you're using it, can add extra push. A closed phrase might live around 250 to 800 Hz. An open phrase might push out toward 2.5 to 9 kHz. A 24 dB slope gives you obvious movement. In neuro, filter automation is often not just tone control, it's arrangement language. It tells the listener when the bass is holding back and when it's stepping forward. Next, saturator. This is intensity. For a calmer phrase, maybe you're at 1.5 to 3 dB of drive. For a more aggressive phrase, maybe 5 to 8. You can automate drive, dry wet, or output compensation, but be careful not to fool yourself with loudness. If it only sounds better because it got louder, that's not real contrast. That's a level trick. Then amp. This is excellent for phrase level aggression shifts. Heavy or blues modes can work nicely. Maybe your dry wet starts around 15 to 35%. Gain. Go carefully. Small changes can be plenty. Phaser flanger is more of a transition or phrase-ending color. Don't leave it wet all the time. Use it as punctuation. Same idea with hybrid reverb. In this style, reverb works best as contrast on tails, not as a constant wash over the groove. Then utility. Honestly, utility is one of the strongest contrast tools in drum and bass. Width and gain automation can completely change how a phrase feels. A tight phrase might be close to 0 to 40% width. An open phrase or fill might jump to 80, 100, even 140% if the source supports it. But remember, widen selectively. A bass that sounds huge solo can get weak in a full mix if the center disappears. Now instead of drawing automation across 10 separate lanes, rack this chain up. Create an audio effect rack and build a neuro contrast rack. Map the most important parameters into macros. Macro 1 can be tone open. Map that to auto filter frequency, maybe a tiny high mid EQ boost, and maybe just a hint of extra width. Macro 2 is aggression. Map that to saturator drive, amp dry wet, and maybe a little parallel compression or parallel dirt if you have it. Macro 3 is width. Map utility width, phaser flanger dry wet, and maybe a touch of reverb send. Macro 4 is tail wash. That controls reverb or delay on tails only. Macro 5 is movement. Phaser rate or wet amount, frequency shift or fine amount, filter resonance, that kind of thing. Macro 6 is vacuum. This audio version is shortened for playback.